Right, we're holding Tzadik Gimel Amud Beis by the Mishnah. Continuing on this din about blood of a chatas that splashes on clothing, where we've been saying it has to be washed in the Azara, as we talked about yesterday, the Ramban points out the idea is since the blood to begin with was supposed to stay in the Azara to be sprinkled, then if it gets on clothing, and we learned already that it has to be dafka where it was going to be sprinkled, not already sprinkled, and where it's ilori for sprinkling, et cetera, then it's only right that it should be kept in the Azara and it will brought back into the Azara if the clothing was taken out already and washed there. So now continues the Mishnah. Nitas ala ur. What happens if the blood splashes on a piece of leather or skin? So ad shalai hufshat, if the skin had not yet been stripped off the animal, ain't atone kibbus, then it does not require kibbus, because at this point it's not yet goy lekabel tuma. There should be no other malacha that has to be done for it to be makabel tuma. And in the case of the skin, when it's still attached to the body of the animal, then it's not makabel tuma. But after it was stripped off the animal, ton kibbus, then already requires kibbus. Give it Rabbi Yehuda. That's what Rabbi Yehuda says. Rabbi Elazar says, no, after Mishul Hufshat, even after it was stripped off the animal, until it was actually fashioned into a keli, then it doesn't require kibbus. But it has to be. So Rashi explains, Rabbi Yehuda holds that as long as it's not missing any malacha, then at that to be a functional keli, then the concept of kibbutz applies to it. Whereas Rabbi Elazar says it has to be that there's no even machshava left for it to become a keli. Now, when it comes to a skin that was stripped off the animal and nothing else has been done with it yet, you could conceivably at that point use it as a keli, but normally you would do more malacha on it. Normally, at least you would have machshava to do something else with it. So according to Rabbi Elazar, the fact that you don't have that machshava, because ordinarily you plan to do something with the skin before you can actually use it, then therefore the concept of kibbutz doesn't yet apply to it. Tosfos has a long discussion over here about the correct gersoris over here, whether in fact we're talking about before or after it was stripped off, because on the face of it, even after it was stripped off, on the face of it, there's still, again, there, you know, you would still, normally you would do many things to it before it's ready to use. So Tosfos has a long back and forth about that, what the correct gersa over here is. We'll talk about in the Gemara. We'll see at the beginning of the Gemara a braisa on the subject, and then we can talk more about that Tosfos. So the Mishnah continues. Ein aton kibbutz ela makom adam. Now only the area where the blood actually splashed on requires washing, not the rest of the begging. The chiddush of that being, one of the Mefarshim on Mishnayos points out, we find when it comes to tzaras, when a beggar has tzaras on it, it's not enough to just wash the area with the tzaras itself. You have to also wash a little bit of the beggar itself. Also later on in the Perek, when we talk about the din of Miriko Shtifa, the din of washing and scouring out a pot in which kodshim were cooked, then we're going to say that even if you used only part of the pot, you still have to scour and cleanse the whole thing. So you would have thought the same thing is true over here as far as the clothing, and therefore we're saying that no, here it's not so. Only the area itself where the blood landed on needs to be washed. The dovash or roy lekabel tumah. Furthermore, it has to be that the thing is roy lekabel tumah, that's suitable to become tumah, the roy lekibus, and that's suitable to be washed, and we're going to have a long discussion in the Gemara of what the definition of kibbutz is, and we're going to see in the Gemara what that excludes. Now, when we say roi lekabel tuma, the Gemara is going to point out, Rashi points it out over here, that it means as long as it's not mechusa malacha, as long as it is usable, even as it is, even if you actually have plans to change it into something else, and that would mean, in other words, that this part of the Mishnah is a sam Mishnah like Rabbi Yehuda, which would imply that the halacha is like him, because we have a general rule that, and then most of the time we have the rule that when we have a machloikas and then a sam, then the halacha is usually like the sam. So over here that would seem to imply that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, that until that that uh that even if you just stripped it off the animal, then it would already be makabel truma, and therefore you would have to wash it in the azara. Again, now Tosfos gets into this long discussion about what the correct gusa is over here. Is it in fact that Rabbi Huda is saying that just the fact that it was stripped off the animal is already enough for it to be metabol truma? I mean, usually in halacha, and we're going to discuss in the Gemara, usually a skin is not yet considered usable as soon as you strip it off the animal. Most of the time, you usually do something with it first. So the Gemara, the Mishnah continues. Echad a beged ve'echad a sak ve'echad a ur to'unim kibos. Whether the blood splashed on clothing or on sackcloth, which is made out of which is also woven, but it's made out of goat hair and it's coarser. Ve'echad a ur or skin, subject to the machlokas that we had before about what stage of the skin are we talking about? To'unim kibos. All of them require to be washed in the azara. The kibbutz makom kodesh, and this kibbutz has to take place specifically in the holy place, meaning in the azara. And ushviras kli cheres. Now the Mishnah continues. Here's another din also that we talked about at the beginning of the parak. There's a din that when you cook a korban in an earthenware pot, then afterwards, the pasuk says the pot has to be broken. You can't kasher it because you can't kasher earth. You can't kasher earthenware. And the problem is the next time you use the pot, it's going to the molecules of food that were absorbed in it are going to be noiser and are going to acid the next food that you cook in there. So that also when it has to be broken, that also has to be b'makom kodesh in the holy place. That also has to be done in the azara. Omeriko shtifa, the cleaner choshes, the makam kodesh. And the meriko shtifa of copper or other metal kalim also has to be done, makam kodesh also has to be done in the azara. The meriko shtifa is the washing and the scouring that we were talking about before that has to be done with metal kalim, where the pasuk says, the pasuk continues, the cleaner choshes bushala, if it was cooked in a copper pot, or murdak the shutaf bamoyim, then it has to be cleansed and scoured in water, which we're going to talk about in more detail later on in the parak. and therefore that also has to be done with makom kodesh. So the Mishnah finishes off. Zeh chomer b'chatas v'kodshe kodshin. Here we have a chumrah in chatas over kodshe kodshin. Rashi says that this zeh is referring to back to the washing, that the washing specifically applies only to a chatas, as opposed to, in other words, Rashi is learning that the other dinim that we're saying, as far as the breaking of the clay feres and the scouring of metal kalim, those would actually apply, according to Rashi, even to other korbanos as well. On the other hand, the Rambam understands that the word zeh chomer b'chatas are actually referring to the kli cheres and the metal keli, and he learns therefore that it means that those indeed apply only to chatas and not to other kodesh. So the Gemara starts off menahani mili. Where do we know this din about when it landed on skin of an animal, and it depends whether it was stripped off the animal or not. So the Tanna Rabbanan, we learn a braisa. When the pasuk says that the blood lands on a beged, Vashir yizim yidam ala beged, the pasuk says. So emi ala beged, so you would only know from that it means clothing. Minayin l'rabas omisha hufshat. How do we know that it includes skin of an animal even after it was stripped off the animal, but before anything else was done with it? Tamad loy mashir yizim, this is like Rabbi Yehuda says. Tamad loy mashir yizim ala tachabes, therefore the pasuk says that is squirted on it, it should be washed. So in other words, the flow of the pasuk is, it goes, Vashir yizim yidam ala beged, that when the blood squirts onto clothing, Ashir yizim aleha, what it squirts on, to chavis makom kodesh, should be washed in the holy place, meaning in the azara. So from the extra words, Ashir yizim aleha, we learn that to chavis, it means that anything, including leather as well, including skin as well. Yochol shani mar be'or ad shalei hufshat. Now, you would think that that should include also then in that case the skin of the animal before it was stripped off. Tamid lama beged, therefore the pasuk does say beged, from which we're doing ma beged or roi lakabal truma. Clothing is roi lakabal truma. Now, it is true that we're going to talk about soon. There is a minimum size of clothing usually that's makabal truma. However, if you plan to use it as a beged, then it's makabal truma, as we're going to see soon, even less than that size. So, in other words, whenever it's called a beged, then automatically it's makabel truma. So, just like a beged is rori lakabel truma, by definition, afhola rori lakabel truma, the same way any other case, in the case of the skin, it also has to be rori lakabel truma, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That's what Rabbi Yehuda says. So, as soon as it was stripped off the animal, then already it's rori to, then already it's rori lakabel truma, because at that point, you could just use it as is. Rebbe Lozo says no. The limud is as follows: beged. Again, when the pasuk says beged, a clothing, ainli ela beged, you would know from that it means only a beged, meaning specifically something made out of wool or linen. In Torah terminology, the word beged, unspecified, means wool or linen. This comes up in Hilchos Tzitzis. It comes up in the fact that the bigdei kohuna are made out of only wool and linen, and a number of other places. So minayim l'rabba sack. So Rabbi Lozer says, how do we know even to? So according to Rabbi Yehuda, we didn't need that. According to him, the word beged meant anything, and anything that's a rori l'kabel truma. And we said that therefore it includes a skin as well. Once it's rori l'kabel truma, according to Rabbi Lozer, the limud is that a beged narrowly defined is only wool or linen. Minayim l'rabba sack b'chol minib godim. How do we know to include sackcloth, which is made out of goat hair, or any other kind of clothing? For example, Rashi says various kinds of silk. How do we know that those also the din of kibbutz apply to those? Tamid lema asher oleha techabes. The pasuk says that is on it. Actually, asher yizeh oleha techabes, but leaving out the word yizeh, asher that oleha, the blood is on it. Techabes should be washed. So therefore, so in other words, because the Torah says Aleha, then therefore that means that anything that it was that it's swore about. You would think then that should include even a skin that was stripped off the animal but has not yet been turned into a keli. Tamid lama beged. No, therefore again he says, because it says beged, my beged, I'm a makabel truma, just like a beged, clothing by definition is something that's makabel truma. Afkol davar I'm a makabel truma, the same thing. Anything else needs to be makabel truma. Rashi points out that Rabbi Lozer is learning over here by, in the case of Tumas Shrotzim, when a sheretz touches something that it becomes Tomei, and the Pasuk also mentions over there Beged or Sok, but it means over there all of them, that the Beged or the leather or the sack all Roy LeKabel Tuma, there's no Machshava even remaining. You have this, it's already ready and finished for use as is. So that's where Rabbi Lozer gets what he says in the Mishnah, that even once it was taken off the animal, that's still not enough for it to be makabel truma yet. It's still, because at that point, even if there's no meisin needed, there's still machshava. You need to think whether you plan to use it as is or whether you plan to turn it into something else. And therefore, according to him, that's not makabel truma yet. One point that Tosfos makes in the long Tosfos over here is that there may be a difference. Maybe after the leather is tanned, after it's tanned to make leather, then it doesn't require machshava anymore. But maybe before it was tanned, then it does need machshava, and that would be what Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Lozer are talking about over here, that it needs machshava. Then also Tosfos talks about there are certain kinds of animals that have very soft skins, so soft that they're even edible. So maybe those kinds specifically, need to be worked into leather in order to be makabel truma, because otherwise they're considered basically like a flesh, but otherwise not. So again, Tosfos goes back and forth with various possibilities about it, and comparing with different other Gemaras that talk about skins and the dinim of them. Okay. Anyway, the Gemara says, "My binai, what is the difference in what's the underlying machloikas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Lozer? What is the where is there an example of a beged which is roi makabel truma but is not actually makabel truma?" Where we're saying, in other words, Rabbi Yehuda is saying that Rabbi Yehuda is learning, both of them are learning from beged, after all. Rabbi Yehuda is saying roi lekabel truma. Rabbi Lozer says mekabel truma. So that implies, in other words, you have to have something which is roi, which is suitable to mekabel truma, but is actually not mekabel truma. What is such an example? Amar Abaye matlis The answer would be, let's say you have a piece of cloth that is less than 3 by 3. Now, in Gemara terminology, when we use the word shalosh, shalosh is Lashon Nekeva. Numbers in Hebrew, you know, are kind of backward. You have the numbers that sound like they're in feminine form, like shlosha, arba, hamisha, which have a hey at the end of them, which is usually a marker of the feminine. Those are actually the masculine gender. For feminine, you use the ones without the hey, shalosh, arba, chamish. So when you have over here, chosemi shalosh, then that would mean 3 etzbois. So what you have is in the word etzbois is also feminine. So shalosh would refer to etzbois, 3 by 3 etzbois, as opposed to shloisha with the masculine ending would refer to tfachim. Later on, there is a Hagoy Sabach that says instead of shalosh should be shloisha, and in fact there are mafoshim who explain that maybe that Hagoy was meant to go over here, and in fact the word over here would be shloisha. The way we have it in front of us, misholosh, mi'o, misholosh al sholosh, that the piece of cloth is less than 3 by 3 etzbois. Now, a piece of cloth less than 3 by 3 etzbois is generally not makabel tumah because it's too small to be useful for anything. So then, ikar b'nayu, that would be the nakamina between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar. Manda omer roi, ho nami roi. The one who says roi, it is...
Are you referring...
What?
Are you referring to a base kibul? That has to be less than 3.
No, we're not talking about base kibble. When it comes to cloth, it doesn't matter whether it has a base kibble or not. When we're talking about cloth, it's just a matter of how large is it. So generally speaking,
how much is base kibble? How big is a base kibble?
Base kibble. So if you have a keli that has a base kibble, then it doesn't matter. Even the tiniest base kibble, when it comes to wooden kelim, is enough to be makabel tuma. But when it comes to cloth, the base kibble is not a factor.
No, I understand, but why do we make a difference in measurement for one and for the other?
Because when it comes to wooden kalim, we learn from Sukkim that it has to be similar to a sack in that it's able to contain something within it. So pshute klei eitz, plain wooden kalim that don't have a base kibble are not makabel tuma. As opposed to by a beged, it's a matter of that it has to be functional. Generally speaking, less than 3 by 3 tefachim, people don't usually use as a functional thing. They usually just throw it away. Therefore, it's not makabel tuma. Now we're going to say that if he plans to actually use it as a patch, then it can be makabel tuma.
So because we're relying on different psukim, the measurements are different?
Yeah, pretty much. We're relying on different psukim and different criteria for when something was makabel tuma. Exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So machlas chosim shalosh ikar b'nayu. So Abai is saying we're talking about a piece of cloth which is less than 3 by 3 tefachim. Manda amar roi, Rabbi Yehuda, who looks at the fact that it has to be roi l'kabel tuma, honami roi. Well, the fact is, it is suitable in the sense the boy choshev alei, because if he wants, he could think about it and decide that he wants to use it even as a smaller piece than that he wants to use it as a patch. Normally, people don't use pieces less than 3 by 3 etzvois as a patch, but the fact is a person could decide that he does plan to, and therefore even now, then that can be considered to be roi l'kabel tuma, and therefore, if the blood gets on it, then it will have to be washed in the azara. So manda amadava makabel tuma, whereas Rabbi Elazar who says it has to be sometimes makabel tuma, ha mi'alabas kabel de tuma. The fact is, right now, it's not ruy l'kabel tuma, only if he has that machshava. Well, Rabbi Elazar says, never mind machshava, it has to be that right now it's able to become tame. So now there is some discussion about that. The fact is that the Gemara does mention in other places that pieces less than 3 by 3 are not usually used as a patch. So why would even Rabbi Yehuda hold that it is makabel tuma? So there is some discussion about that, and there is the possibility that actually maybe the shlosh al shlosh over here, it's supposed to be shlosha al shlosha, is 3 by 3 tefachim, and therefore that means that would mean that actually that he plans to use it, and he
makes it fit for use, he makes it that he's actually going to be doing something, then it'll be makabel truma. So even before he actually makes those alterations, then he would have to be makabel. Then he would have to actually wash it. In other words, that according to that, we're not talking about less than 3x3 etzvos. That for sure wouldn't be makabel truma, but less than 3x3 tefachim, where to a certain extent that depends on what his machshava is. Some people will keep such things, some people will throw them out. So it depends whether he plans to keep it and do something with it to make it functional. So that's one answer. Rava Omar. Rava gives a second explanation. You don't need to say you're talking about less than 3x3 tefachim or etzvos, as the case may be. Deged shechishav alei l'tzura. It could be nayu. Another way of looking at the argument between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Lazar can be where he plans to still embroider the cloth. Right now, the cloth is already woven and is functional, but he plans to embroider a picture on it. So then, in that case, before he does that, then manda amar roi hanami roi. So now, the opinion of Yehuda says that it has to be that it's only roi lekabel truma. Well, very well, hanami roi. Well, this is roi lekabel truma. Dibay mevata le machshavde. All he needs to do is change his machshava. Rashi points out, now we do have that machshava is not enough to take something out of the concept of being makabel truma, but to be makabel truma, machshava is enough. So in other words, this piece of cloth, once he thought that he plans to embroider it, therefore it's not yet makabel truma, but now if he change, all he has to do is change his mind. He doesn't have to do anything to it, he doesn't have to do any maisa to it, and already it's makabel truma. Well then, therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says, it's rori makabel truma, as soon as he changes his mind. Whereas Rabbi Lazar who says that's actually makabel truma, hashemi alam bas kabbalah truma. The fact is, right now it's not makabel truma because he still does plan to embroider it. So that would be another case where they're arguing about. There was a different explanation of the words that he plans to do a tzura on it, when we're saying over here, beged shechishav alei l'tzura, there's another explanation based on the Rambam, that it would mean that he plans to, that he wants to use it as a decoration on the wall or something, and not that he's actually going to use it yet as cloth. So again, the same as clothing. So again, the same thing, all he has to do is be mevatel that machshava. Okay. Rava Omar, Rava gives another answer. Now before we just had an explanation of Rava. So either this is Ika Damri, either this is another version of what Rava said, or a different version, a different Girsha from Shittim Kubetzis, is Ravina Omar, that the third answer is going to be from Ravina. Anyway, here's another Nafkamina. Suppose you have a piece of leather. It's a rug. Most of the time, Rashi describes this kind of rug is usually made out of leather. Sometimes it's made out of cloth. Anyway, it's called an utzva. It's basically a rug. The choshev alei l'katza, where he plans to trim around the edges and make it look nicer. Ikebenaya would be another nachkamina between them. Now the fact is, even without that trimming, it is still suitable to use as an utzva. But again, if he plans to trim it, it's not makabel truma until he actually does, or until he's mevatel his machshava. So now the same thing then. Manda Omer Roy, Rabbi Yehuda, who says that it has to be Roy lekabel truma. Well, good. Honami Roya. This is also Roy because all he has to do is change his machshava and decide that he's not going to trim it. It is, after all, functional as is. Manda Omer Dava makabel truma. But if you say that to be makabel truma, holav makabel truma adim makatzala. Then it's not makabel truma until he trims it. Vaha Tanya, and indeed we thus learn in a brisa, Rav Shimon ben Nasya Omer. Utzba shechishav alei l'katza. If he has this kind of rug, whether it's made out of leather or cloth, as Rashi says, where he plans to trim it to hora ad sheyaktziyana, then it's tahor. It's not makabel truma until he actually trims it or until he's mevatel his machshava. Again, Rashi points out that for a kavod to be makabel truma, all you need is machshava. In order, once it's makabel truma, for it to no longer be makabel truma, you need maisa. So here, this thing, he had made it. He had decided when he was making it, he wasn't yet finished. He plans to trim it, so it wasn't yet makabel truma. But now, when he takes away that machshava and decides, you know what, I'll use it as is, then it's makabel truma at that point. So then Rabbi Yehuda says that would be reason enough for the din of kibbutz to apply to it, whereas Rabbi Elazar is saying no, only if you actually did the maaseh, or specifically when mevatel your machshava, as long as the machshava is blocking it from being mekabel tumah, says Rabbi Elazar, then the din of kibbutz will not apply. So that's so we have three different ways of understanding what the nafka minim would be between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar. The Rambam ends up paskening like Rabbi Yehuda, as we said, as the Gemara is going to say soon, that the Mishnah, that the Stam Mishnah continues like Rabbi Yehuda, and that means, in other words, that once it was stripped off the animal, even if there's still a possibility of a machshava to do differently, then nevertheless it requires kibbutz. Okay. Next, the Mishnah had said ein ton kibbutz chola. We said that it does not require kibbutz on only the area of the blood. So Tanan Menahani Mili, where do we know that? From the Tanan Rabban, we learn in a Braisa. Yochom nitas amiktas deged yehifal abdeged ton kibbutz. You would think that if the blood squirted on a little bit of the clothing, the whole piece needs to be washed. Again, as we find by Tzaras, and as we find by Mariko Shtifa later in our parak, Tanan by Masha Yiza, therefore the Pasuk says that is squirted, that means, so therefore only the place of the blood needs to be washed, nothing else. Okay? We said Dovashur Roy Lakabal Shumma Bahula. We said that the thing in order to have to require kibbutz is has to be something that's Roy Lakabal Shumma Bahula. So the Gemara points out, stomach, Rabbi Yehuda. When we're saying over here Roy, that means a Stam Mishnah, like Rabbi Yehuda, because according to Rabbi Elazar, it's not enough that it's Roy Lakabal Shumma, has to be that it's actually Lakabal Shumma. Roy Lakibbutz. And when we say that it's suitable for kibbutz, that means Lamu'uti Kli, that. that means, as opposed to if the blood got on a keli, you don't wash kelim devout gridahu. Instead, you scrape it off the keli, and then so that's not kibbutz, and therefore you wouldn't have to do that in the azara. Okay, we said in the Mishnah echad abdeged veechad asakhola. We said clothing, sackcloth, or leather all require kibbutz. So the Gemara says, "Lemenra de ur bar kibbutzu." Does that imply that leather is considered something that where kibbutz, where washing can be done to it, that cleaning it is considered washing in halach? Or aminu? The Gemara says, "I have a contradiction." Because we learn in a Mishnah in Shabbos, the first the Mishnah talks about over there, let's say, for example, you accidentally left money on a pillow on Shabbos, and now you want to use the pillow, so fine, the money is muktzah, but you can shake the pillow and get the money off, get the coins off, and then you can use the pillow. Now the Mishnah continues, hoisa olav lishlushes. Suppose that there was lishlushes on the pillow. Lishlushes is something filthy. It actually explains it can be saliva, it can be excrement. Tosfos brings from the Oruch that specifically lishlushes means chicken waste. In any case, if that landed on a pillow, and now you want to use the pillow on Shabbos, the kancha b'smautert, you can wipe it off with a rag. You cannot put water on it to get rid of the filth, because that would be mechabes. That would be washing. That would be laundering on Shabbos, which is part of the malacha of melabin. So you can't do that. So all you can do is wipe it off with a dry cloth. But hoisa al shalur. However, if this lishleshes, this whatever the filth is, was on a leather pillow, noisin ala amayim an shetichla, then you can pour water on the filth until it goes away. Now you can't wipe it with your hands. But you can't wipe it with your hands, because that's considered cleaning. But we see, in other words, that pouring water on it is not considered kibbutz. So you see, therefore, on the face of it, that kibbutz does not apply to leather. So how can the Mishnah say that? So how can the Mishnah say that it does? The question is not really. I mean, the obvious answer would be okay. So our Mishnah, when it says that you have to do kibbutz, means not just to pour water on it, would mean also to scrub it. But still, the Lashon and the Mishnah kibbutz, when the Mishnah says echad abdeged, ve'echad asak, ve'echad ur, it sounds like the way you do kibbutz with them is all exactly the same thing. And the fact is, there's a difference because when it comes to cloth or sackcloth, then pouring water on them is in and of itself is sufficient to be considered kibbutz. Whereas by leather, we see that not. So the answer is Amar Abaya Lakasha. The answer is that our Mishnah versus the Mishnah in Shabbos are following different opinions about whether putting water on leather is considered washing it. The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, habeged v'hasach mechabsoi, when it comes to cloth or sackcloth, then you would do kibbutz, you would actually wash them, you would actually launder them. Takliva or, on the other hand, a keli or leather, megaroi, then you could scrape it off. Acherim oimrim, and acherim say, habeged v'hasachva or mechabsoi, v'akli megaroi. Acherim say, acherim usually meaning a mayor, that cloth or sackcloth or leather, you have to wash, and a keli, and only a keli you scrape. Well, therefore, our Mishnah is going like Achedim, whereas the Mishnah in Shabbos is going like the Tanakama of this Braisa. Okay. So the Gemara points out, Keman Oz V'Hodah Omer Rav Chiya V'Ashi. Now then, in that case, which of those two opinions will be the following statement? Hod Amar Rav Chiya V'Ashi, this that Rav Chiya V'Ashi says, Zimnim Sagiyin have a Ka'inna Kamei Rav. Many times I was standing in front of Rav as a Talmud to serve him. As we know, there's more mentions in a number of places, G'dol Shimusha Shel Torah Yosim Limuda, that actually serving a Talmud Chacham is even greater than learning under him. So Rav Chiya V'Ashi not only learned under Rav, but he also served him, he also did personal service for him. And a lot of times, says Rav Chiya V'Ashi on Shabbos, V'shachshisi Le Misonei B'maya, I would take his leather shoes and then dip them in water on Shabbos to clean them. So we see Kiman Kirabanan says so. So the Gemara points out that must be like the Rabbanan, because according to Acherim, he wouldn't be able to do that, because that would be considered kibbutz. We're just talking about shichshuch. We're just talking about we're not talking about actually scrubbing them in the water or anything. We're just talking about like putting them in the water and then moving them around a little bit in the water. And nevertheless, that would still be considered kibbutz, and therefore you can't do that. So therefore, necessarily, Rav Chiya V'Ashi must have been doing what he did according to the Rabbanan. But Rava says, no, me, Kalmando, Amar, or live by kibbutz, too. What are you telling me? There's any opinion that says that leather is not subject to kibbutz? Of course it is. The pasuk clearly says, the pasuk describes you have a case of tzaras on clothing, and the pasuk mentions that depending what happens with the tzaras, whether it fades, whatever different things. So you have a case where you wash the item that had tzaras on it. And the pasuk lists out all the possible things that can have tzaras on them: the clothing or shesi or edev, warp or woof threads that are ready to be used for weaving, oichol kli ha'or, or all leather kalim asher techabes that are washed. And the pasuk describes that the tzaras fades, then you have to tovel them, and then they're tahor. So we see that then the pasuk clearly says techabes about leather. So you can't explain that what Rav Chiya V'Ashi was doing was specifically according to the Rabbanan, and Acherim would hold that it's also, and then say that our Mishnah versus the Mishnah and Shabbos are having the same argument. You can't learn that way. Rather, Rava says the Pasuk and our Mishnah are referring to soft leather. So then, kibbutz is relevant to that. He pligi the caution. The machloikus of the chachamim and achedim is about hard leather. The ha omar or the ha de omar Rav Chiya, and then when Rav Chiya says zimnim sagi, Rav Chiya V'Ashi zimnim sagi, and have a kaimna kamei de Rav, that many times I was standing in front of Rav, shachshifil in the son of the Maya, and I moved around his shoes in water to get the dirt off them. Well, then, according to Rava, we would say b'koshin, we would have to say that was talking about hard leather shoes, or v'rabbanan. Again, that would be according to the Rabbanan. It's true that if Rav's shoes were soft leather, then everybody would agree that you can't do that, because then that would be considered kibbutz. Yes. Okay. However, Rava then goes on to say, Lav Milsahid Amri. What I said can't really be correct. It can't be. So in other words, it comes out from Rava's answer that specifically when the Pasuk says to Chabesh about leather, it has to be referring to soft leather. The problem is, Rava says, the Pasuk doesn't specify. Neku namele lekro de chiksivon verakin chiksivon. Did we have to necessarily say that the Pasuk is only talking about soft leather? Is only talking about soft leather and say that kibbutz applies only to that? Milaya skinan, couldn't it equally be well referring to the clay axolagia haboim medinas yam? Couldn't it equally well be referring, the Pasuk just says clay har, it doesn't specify whether it means hard leather or soft. So it could be talking about kalim of axolagia, Rashi says, means very hard, boiled leather that comes from medinas yam, that comes from overseas. And such things are very hard. Vika Omar Rahman and Ibori Kibbutz. Still, the Torah is saying that if such a thing gets saras on it, you would need kibbutz. So you see that kibbutz can very well apply even to very, very hard, stiff, boiled leather. So no. Rava says, when I said before that kibbutz would apply necessarily only to soft leather, maybe not. So then we're back to the question then, how could Rav Chiya Ashi wash Rav's shoes on Shabbos? Ella Omar Rava, rather, Rava says, you know what, that's not really a counterproof, because Saras, Kibin de Megufe Kaparka, what happens is, Saras comes from the Beged itself. After all, Saras is not something external that lands on it, it's some kind of watch or whatever it is. I mean, it's something supernatural, but still, you know, it develops from within the Beged itself. Therefore, it penetrates the leather, or Mashabi Le Rach, and makes it soft. In other words, in effect, Rava is saying, when you're dealing with something with saras, even if it's the hardest leather, even if it's clay axolagin, nevertheless, if it has saras, then that itself is going to make it soft. And therefore, kibbutz will apply to it. So we can say, after all, that kibbutz applies only to soft leather and not hard. The pasuk is talking about something that was hard and now became softened by the waft of the saras spreading in it. So in that case, then we're back to the pasuk can be talking about any kind of leather, even hard. But our Mishnah is talking about specifically soft leather, and machlokas achirim and then rabbanon would be as far as hard leather. Whether when it comes to Shabbos, whether you're allowed to put it in water. However, Omar Rava, e kashali ha kashali. However, Rava says, you know, if I'm going to have a question, really, then my question is really going to be as follows. The original Mishnah from Shabbos that we quoted that began the sugya, we were talking about pillows and cushions. The rakin ninu, those obviously are made of soft leather. Utnan, and yet we said in the Mishnah before, that if the pillow that had the lishleshes, the filth on it, was leather, then you can put water on it, you can pour water on it until the filth goes away. So you see that kibbutz then doesn't apply even to soft leather. Because unlike with saras, where you can say the Torah is saying leather and it can mean hard or soft, when it comes to a pillow, very obviously we're talking about soft leather. And we still see that you're allowed to pour water on it. So how would that be then? In that case, it comes out that kibbutz wouldn't apply even to soft leather. So what's going on over here? Ella Omar Rava, rather Rava answers, kol kibbutz de les le kiskus lo shnei kibbutz. The answer is that kibbutz, the definition of kibbutz involves that there's also kiskus, that you take the two parts of the garment and rub them one against the other. That's how you do when you're cleaning a stain on cloth, very often, or on anything, very often you do that. You take two parts of it and you rub them one against the other to get the filth or the stain off. Well, then Rava says, without that, that's not considered kibbutz. Therefore, when it comes to the leather pillow, then yes, you are in fact allowed to pour water on it because you're not doing kiskus. So now if we look again what Rav Chiya Ashi said, that he said Zimnin Sagin have a Kaim Natameh de Rab, that many times I was standing in front of Rab, the Shahshifile Masone Bamaya, and I would take his shoes on Shabbos, his leather shoes, and put them in water and move them around in the water. Shikshuch ain't abo kibbutz loy. Necessarily, Rav Chiya Ashi is saying that he would only do shikshuch, only moving it around in the water, but not actual kibbutz. So that could be as follows. Either we're talking about that Rav's shoes were made of soft leather, and then everybody would agree that the most he could do is shikshuch. either koshin v'chacherim, or it would be that they were hard leather, and then acherim would say that the most that he could do is move them around in water, whereas the rabbanon would have held that because they're hard, he would even be allowed to rub one part against the other. Because according to the rabbanon, we're saying that when it comes to hard leather, kibbutz is not relevant. So now in our Mishnah, when we're talking about that, when we're talking about doing kibbutz to leather, then we're talking about soft leather, and we're talking about that kibbutz implies not just pouring water on the stain, on the blood stain, but also rubbing one part against the other. Okay, so the question is yihochi begin nami. Well, in that case, then why? So in that case, why, when we said before in the case of the pillow on Shabbos, that if it's made out of cloth, you can't do that. You can't put water on it. All you can do is wipe it with a dry cloth. So why is that? By the same logic, just putting water on it shouldn't be considered kibbutz unless you're rubbing one part against the other. And the answer is no. No, because when it comes to cloth, just soaking it in water alone is considered washing it. And therefore, even without rubbing the two parts together, then it's awesome. Tosfos points out in this connection that what you do have is there are times, for example, let's say you can wipe your hands on a towel on Shabbos because even though you're getting it wet, because that's getting it wet in a way of making it dirty. But here we're talking about pouring water on the pillow in order to remove filth, so that would be in order to clean it, and therefore that would be also on Shabbos as the Malacha of Malabin. So far what Rava is saying is, with cloth, you can't do anything with it on Shabbos in terms with water. And of course, when it comes to the blood of our Mishnah, then yes, if it's cloth, then you would wash it, you would do regular kibbutz. When it comes to leather, it's going to depend. With any kind of leather, soft or hard, we're saying at this point, you could pour water on it. However, and that explains the case of the leather pillow in the Mishnah. And it also means that in our Mishnah, when we're talking about that you do kibbutz, is referring to soft leather. Hard leather, the Chachamim would say you could do anything with it, even rubbing it, and the Acherim would say that you could not. You can just soak it in water, but you can't rub it. And the Gemara points out that Rava L'Tanei, Rava is going according to his Svara, that we see that sometimes just putting something in water is enough to be considered a malacha. The same way as he's saying over here, that just putting water on cloth will be enough to be considered the malacha of malavim. So Rava says, Zama Rava, Zorak Sudar L'mayim, if a person threw a Sudar, a scarf, into water on Shabbos, Chayev, then he's Chayev Chatos because he's cleansing it with that. And similarly, also Rava says, Zorak Zera Pishta Mamayim Chayim. Also, if a person were to throw flaxseed into water on Shabbos, then he'd also be Chayim. So the Gemara asks, Bishlemes Sudar Ovid Kibbutz. I understand when he throws the scarf into the water, he's doing kibbutz with it, because that's what we've just been talking about, that with cloth, just putting water on it is considered kibbutz. So then putting it into water is the same thing as putting water on it. Ella Zera Pishtan my timer. What's the reason why he would be chayav chatas if he did it, if he put in flax seeds? V'chitema mishum de makdach. You're going to say because it's going to grow there. It's going to grow in the water. Now, the Radvaz points out in one of his trubas, it's not necessarily actually going to grow there because you need earth in order to grow as well, Nowadays, they have hydroponics. They have methods where they can grow seeds in water with the appropriate nutrients in it, but they didn't have that back then. But he points out, fine, it doesn't mean that it's actually going to grow in the water, but it means that it promotes the growth when you soak them in water. And then afterwards, when you plant them, they'll grow better. So you're going to say that that's the reason, then in that case, the same thing should be true as far as wheat or barley grains. Then why is Rava mentioning specifically flax seed? And the answer is Hanach Isla. And the answer is Hanach Isla Hu Rivi. The answer is that flax seeds have a rear. They have like a mucus like substance that exudes out of them, and therefore as opposed to wheat and barley grains, and therefore so they stick one to another. So the Gemara asks, "Yehochi shlochim nami?" Well, then by that logic, then the same thing should apply, you know, as far as leather, as far as skins, as far as untanned skins. Also, you put them in water, and then a mucus-like substance comes out of them. So why wouldn't he eat? Why is Rava mentioning specifically the case of flax seeds? And the answer is chosim ka'ovid lisha, because the difference is with the. It's true with leather. Also, this mucus-like substance comes out when you soak it in water, but there's nothing, it doesn't stick together because of that. But when you put flax seeds in water, because of that stuff, because of that mucus-like stuff that comes out of them, that causes them to stick together, and therefore it's considered a malacha of lisha, therefore it's considered the malacha of kneading on Shabbos, that you're causing them, and kneading is any time you take things and cause them to stick together. The classic example of kneading, of course, is kneading dough, where you're taking the flour and making it stick together. Here you're doing the same thing with the flax seeds, and therefore it would be the same problem. Tosfos brings a girsa when the Gemara had asked, Yochi shlochim nami, Tosfos brings a girsa, not shlochim, which would mean untanned skins, but rather shachalayim, which in English is cress, which is a type of seeds that also have some kind of mucus-like stuff come out of them. But the answer is that only with flax seeds does that cause them to stick together. With shachalayim, you have the water now has the substance in it, but it doesn't actually cause the seeds to stick together. So it comes out, in other words, Rava is saying there's two different malachas involved over here. Putting a cloth in water would be a matter of kibbutz, which is a malacha of malabin, of cleaning the cloth. And then on the other hand, with the flax seeds, the problem is that it causes them to stick together, and therefore that's considered a malacha of lisha. The Rambam does actually write and is brought in Shulchan Aruch that if he soaks any seeds in water, then it's a toldah of zereya. So the question is why? Our Mishnah seems to be saying that wheat and barley grains would not be a problem, only flax seed and only because of lisha, not zereya. So the Rambam himself gives an answer in a tshuva, and the Magen Avraham writes this independently, but there's a difference between how long you put it there. If you put it there, the Magen Avraham says for like half a day, then already he would be chayav even with wheat and barley grains, because that's enough to promote their growth. As opposed to here, we're talking about that it's only a short amount of time, so with wheat and barley, it wouldn't be an issue, but with flax seeds, it's a problem because right away they stick together because of the mucus-like stuff, and therefore, so already even in a short time would be chayav. Okay. So the Gemara finishes off this discussion. Dorash Rava, mutu l'chabes minu b'shabbos. Rava one time darshan in public that you're allowed to wash a shoe on Shabbos. And that seems to imply that you can do even kibbutz, even the definition that he said before, which would be even to rub it. So Omele Rapapa L'Rava, however, Rapapa asks Rava, V'Omer Rapchir Ba'ashi, don't we have what we already mentioned a few times, that Rapchir Ba'ashi says, Zinin Sagin Hava Ka'imna Kameh L'Rav, many times I was standing as a Talmud in front of Rav and serving him, V'Shach Shifil in the Sonny B'maya, and I moved around his shoes in the water, implying Shich Shuchain, only to move and shake it around in the water, then yes, Hava Kibbutz Loi, but not to do actual Kibbutz, so according to you, he should have been allowed to do actual Kibbutz. So the Gemara says, Hodor Uki Rava Amura Aleva Dorash. Rava later on set up an Amura in front of him. The Amura is his Maturgamon, the one who would announce what he's saying to the Tzibur. And he Darshin, Devorim Shalmati Lefnecham Tosein Biyodlu. What I said before you in my previous Dorasha was a mistake. Ram Kach Omru, in truth, the Chacham said, Shich Shuch Mutter, you are allowed to move around a leather shoe or other leather item in water on Shabbos. Kibbutz also, but to do actual kibbutz to rub it would in fact be also. So in other words, it comes out basically, you know, at the top of the Omud, he'd use the expression kiskus, that we're talking about rubbing one part against the other. So the answer is that no, even less than that, it's still also at least dirabanan. So the most you can do with leather on Shabbos is you can the most you can do with leather on Shabbos is you can pour water on it, but you can't do anything you can't do anything more than that, because anything more than that would be so you're allowed to move it around in the water like Rav Chiya Bar Ashi did, but you're not allowed to rub one side against the other. That would be kibbutz. The Alter Rebbe, when he brings this din, points out that minat Torah would actually be completely allowed, but midrabbanan it's also. So that is why Rava is retracting his opinion and saying the fact is, even if midaraisa, certain such things would be mutter, but midrabbanan they're not. Okay, so the bottom line is that the leather of our Mishnah, we're talking about it is subject to kibbutz because we're talking about soft leather, and therefore kibbutz is relevant to it. And we're saying that you not only wash it, but you also scrub it, and you get on in order to get off the blood. As opposed to in the Mishnah, we said if it was on a keli, and the same thing would apply to hard leather, then you don't have to wash it, then you just scrape it off, and you don't necessarily have to do it in the azara. And then as far as this whole matter of leather, then again, you can put water on leather, but nothing more than that. There is some discussion among contemporary poskim. What about synthetic materials, things like that? So you have also that, so Shmiras Shabbos Kirchosa brings, for example, the same thing, a plastic tablecloth. You would be allowed to put water on it, but you would not be allowed to rub them for the same reason. On the other hand, he brings from Shlomo Zalman, that says that maybe it's even less than leather. Leather at least absorbs something. These things don't absorb at all. But nevertheless, the fact is that we have a suffered daraisa, and therefore we shouldn't. Rav Moshe in fact holds that they are dissimilar to leather, and therefore you would be able to rub one part against the other. But again, he says it's better to be machmir. So in practice, then many posts can hold that even, let's say, a plastic tablecloth or whatever, you would be allowed to pour water on it on Shabbos, but not to rub it. And then there's also, for example, what if it's woven out of synthetic materials? Then that's another question. So you have quite a bit of detail about that that's relevant to Hilchos Shabbos nowadays, as far as what you're allowed to scrub or rub on Shabbos and what you're not. The Mishnah has continued that kibbutz for Mokum Kodesh Chula, that the kibbutz, when kibbutz is required, has to be done in Mokum Kodesh, has to be done in the holy place, in the Azara, and we said that the breaking of clay cheres and the merikah u'shtifa of copper kalim all has to be done in the azara. So menahani mili, where do we know all that from? The Tanna Rabbanan, we learn in a braisa, tachavas malakim kodesh, the pasuk says it should be washed in the holy place, meaning in the azara. So therefore that tells us that the kibbutz has to be done malakim kodesh. What about shviras klei cheres minayin? How do we know the same thing is true as far as the breaking of the klei cheres? Tamad loymo chlich uchli cheres asher tevusha bo yishover. The pasuk continues, and a klei cheres in which it was cooked has to be broken. So the vav puts it together and means that the same din applies to both of them. It says it right after the kibbutz. So we learn that the same din applies to both of them, and they have to be done in makom kodesh. So Rashi says just because they're one next to the other, implying that according to Rashi it would be a matter of smuchim, the Kesef Mishnah explains that it's a matter of because it says the vol, and a vol mosif al in rishon, so it means that it adds to what we said before. Merikah shtifa b'klein lechoshes minayin. How do we know the same thing is true as far as the merikah shtifa of copper kalim? Tamad loymer, the pasuk says v'im b'klein lechoshes bushola, and if it was cooked in a copper pot or morak v'shutaf amoyim, then it should be cleansed and scoured with water. Scoured and cleansed with water, and again that tells us either because of the smichus or because of the vav that the same din applies, that it has to be done in the azara as well. Okay, we said in the Mishnah zech chumra b'chatas chula. We said this is a chumra in a chatas over kodshe kodshim. As opposed to in other areas, you have other chumras, but here you have a chumra in a chatas compared to all other kodshe kodshim. Again, according to Rashi, as we said in the Mishnah, this is referring specifically to the matter of kibbutz. According to the Rambam, it's referring to all the dinim of our Mishnah, also the breaking of the clay cheres, and also the merikah shtifa of the copper keli, that all of those apply only to a chatas. So the Gemara says, the two lekka, you're telling me there's no other chumra in a chatas over other kodesh. What about if you have a chatas where the blood is sprinkled in the heichel, and sometimes even in the kodesh kodashim? So the answer is the chatoris achatzonis. The Mishnah is not referring to those. The Mishnah is referring to the chatoris achatzonis where the blood is applied to the mizbeach, the same as it is all other korbanos. So the Gemara says chitzonis nami. Well, then the chitzonis as well. As we've learned previously, if the blood was taken in to if the blood was taken into the heichel, then it becomes tussle, which we don't find with any other korban. The answer is kedav akiva. Fine, our Mishnah is not kedav akiva. Drama kol dam of shenichnas sula heichel lachaper psulin, because he says that any blood that was brought into the heichel to be mechaper is tussle. Okay, here's another one. Shekin mechaper in achai v'krisis. What about isn't there also shekin mechaper in achai v'krisis? That is mechaper. That a chatas is mechaper for people who are chai of kardis, whereas other korbanos are not. The answer is bechatas the shmiyas apol, because we could say that specifically among the chatoris you have the kind of chatas, the korban or the biyodin, that a person brings for shmiyas apol for a case where we learned in the Sechta Shavuos where he was asked to come be an aid for somebody in Basin, and he fought and he denied that he knows the aiders and swore falsely on it, and then later on he has to bring a korban. There's no kodes involved over there, so we see that there's a kind of chatas that comes not for kodes. Okay. So the Gemara says, Shekein Tona Arba Matonis. Fine, but what about the fact that a chatas has to be applied, the blood has to be applied on all four corners of the Mizbeach, whereas most other korbanos is Shekein Matonis Shekein Arba? The answer is Kerabi Shmuel. Fine, our Mishnah could be like that our Mishnah could be like Kerabi Shmuel, Drama called Domin Tona Arba Matonis, where he says that all blood needs Arba Matonis. He had learned that even when you do Shekein Matonis Shekein Arba, you have to do one application on one side of the corner, and then another one next to it on the other side of the corner, and then the same thing on the opposite corners. So therefore, so you always have, according to him, all korbanos have to have, or almost all korbanos, certainly all kodesh, have to have their blood applied four times to them as they are. The difference is just the method of applying it, but it's still the same thing. Okay, so the Gemara asks still, Varika Keren. Fine, so the Gemara asks, fine, but don't you have, though, the fact is, even according to Rabbi Shmuel, the chatas, the blood has to be placed on the four corners, as opposed to the other korbanos, where it's done only on two of the corners. Fine, according to him, it's done as four applications, but it's still done, according to him, on only two corners. So the Gemara says, well, according to your svara that you're asking the question, you have a lot of things you could point out. How you could keren? What about by the chatas, the blood has to be applied specifically to the keren, to the horns of the mizbeach, or near it? You could keren bedam, and it has to be on the top half of the mizbeach, as opposed to most other korbanos is on the bottom end. Or you could etza, and it has to be done with the finger. Or you could chuda, and you have to do as opposed to the other korbanos, where you splash it from the container. Or you could chuda, and you have that has to be done on the corner, on the actual corner where the two walls of the mizbeach meet. We learned earlier in the Masechta, does it actually require just to be someplace near the corner, or does it require on the actual corner? But the point is, in other words, one way or the other, it's a different place and it's a different kind of applying the blood than you have for all the other korbanos. So then, even according to, no matter how many tanoim you're going to say, all Mishnah goes like Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva, whatever, the fact is, we're still going to have other ways in which the chatas is dissimilar to other korbanos and has a chumrah. So what do you mean this is the chumrah and implying no others? So the Gemara says, Elo chad mitshei tzlasa chumri naka. You're right. Our Mishnah doesn't literally mean that this is the only chumrah. It means that among the chumras of the chatas, you have this one. You have there's two or three chumras of the chatas compared to other kodesh, and this is one of them. Tosfos points out that still it's a little hard to understand. The Mishnah had said Zeh Chomer, this is the Chumrah. That seems to mean that it means exclusive. So Tosfos discusses it in light of a different Gemara that discusses that point when it says Zeh or Elu, does it actually mean to be exclusive from all Gemara? It seems that it's not, and just because it says Zeh doesn't mean that there can't be other ones as well as the Gemara has just listed. Okay.